أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين
ترجمہ ہے کہ اور تو میرے بندوں سے کہہ دے کہ ایسی بات کیا کریں جو سب سے اچھی ہو, یقیناً شیطان ان کے درمیان فساد ڈالتا ہے.
The translation of this verse is, and say to my servants that they should speak that which is best. Surely Satan stirs up discord among them. Surely Satan is an open enemy to man. As you have heard in the translation of this verse, Allah the Almighty has sent this message to His servants, that they should say those things which are best. This is the first point. And that is best, which is best in the sight of God. This is the reason why Allah the Almighty has used the word ibadi, that my servants. We have been bound by the fact that those who Allah the Almighty says are my servants, or those who are in the search of becoming my servants, their choice no longer remains. They should eradicate their own choice and search for my will. They should search for those good things and those good matters, which I, that is Allah the Almighty, am pleased with. Allah the Almighty has further explained this in Surah Al-Baqarah in the following way. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. And O Messenger, when my servants ask thee about me, say, I am near. I answer the prayer of the supplicant when he prays to me, so that they should hearken to me and believe in me, that they may follow the right way. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, regarding ibadi, meaning my servants, explained it in the following manner, that those people who believe in Allah and His Messenger, they alone are counted amongst ibadi, my servants, and as a result of being counted in ibadi, they are near to God. Those who do not come to possess belief in faith are far removed from Allah the Almighty. So thus, in order to become a true ibadi, a true servant of Allah, Allah the Almighty states that accept and believe and follow every one of my commands and strengthen your faith. And when this condition is brought about, you will be able to attain all forms and types of goodness. Your prayers will be accepted. So thus, when Allah the Almighty states that my servants should say those things, they should say those things and they should do those things which Allah the Almighty likes. This then makes it essential that one would have to progress and strengthen his faith, and one would have to search for the commands of Allah. One would have to channel his deeds in a manner which in the eyes of Allah the Almighty are good and excellent. And they are also beautiful. It cannot be the case that we are acting in one manner, yet what we say and our claims are something else. It cannot be that our actions are contrary to the commands of Allah, yet we are advising and counseling others in accordance with those very commands. In terms of such a disparity between word and deed, Allah the Almighty has forbidden this. Allah the Almighty states, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. That, O ye who believe, why do you say what you do not do? كَبُرَ مَقْتًا إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Most hateful is it in the sight of Allah that you say what you do not do. Thus, the contradiction in word and deed is extremely disliked by Allah the Almighty. In fact, it is a sin. On the one side, a person claims to profess to have faith. Yet, on the other side, there is this discrepancy and disparity. Both of these things cannot conform together. The promised Messiah on whom be peace states, listen to my words and remember them clearly. If the speech of a person is not from heartfelt truthfulness and there is no practical power, it will not be effective. In other words, one should speak truthfully and honestly, and whatever he says and speaks, he should act accordingly. If this is not the case, it will be worthless. Thus, يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, that they should speak that which is best. This means that it should not be what is best in accordance with a person's own definition. In fact, it should be the best according to what Allah the Almighty has considered is the best. It should be something which spreads virtuosity, and it should forbid or shun evil and vices. Every single person cannot form his own definition and state that there is no contradiction between his word and deed, and that is why he has become a mu'min, a believer. That an alcoholic says that I drink alcohol, so thus, and you can also drink alcohol, because whatever I state, I also act upon. This is no virtue, and nor is this what is the best. In fact, this is a sin. Here in this society, we see that in the name of freedom, how many indecencies and obscenities are conducted, and these are done quite openly. On the television, and on the internet, and in the newspapers, these indecencies are publicized and promoted in the name of fashion shows and dress shows. People are shown with very revealing clothes. So indeed, what these people say and what they do may be the same. However, in the sight of Allah the Almighty, it is undesirable and a sin. It is in contradiction to the injunctions of Allah. So therefore some people and some of the youth become influenced and impacted by such people. And they consider that such people are straightforward and upright. Whatever they portray themselves as outside, they also are the same inside. There is no disparity between what they say and what they do. However, they should remember that the fact that they have no disparity between what they say and do is no virtue. In fact, it is to publicize and promote indecencies, and it is being far removed from Allah. So therefore, the youth who live in the society and the men and the women should make every possible effort to avoid such an environment and atmosphere. They should submit to Allah the Almighty instead, and pray to Him for always treading upon the Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight and right path. They should pray to be saved from Satan. In terms of the expectations Allah the Almighty has of a mu'min, of a believer, and which He has commanded a mu'min with regards to, you should search out for that. You should search for those ahsan, those best things, and you should strive and make every endeavor to acquire them, through which Allah the Almighty bestows mercy upon His servants and indicates towards His nearness. And He explains to them the manners of pleasing Him. God becomes happy upon the good acts of that person, and as a result of the conformity of his word and his deed, He makes the person deserving of reward. To search out for all these things, a mu'min, a true believer, should search for the commands of Allah. This is so that he can understand the distinction between ahsan and ghair ahsan, that what is best and what is not best, that he can understand its essence and reality, and that he can be counted amongst those whom Allah the Almighty has announced as ibadi, that they are my servants. They have been given the glad tidings of the acceptance of their prayers. In this era, it is a great responsibility upon us, the Ahmadis, because we have accepted the Imam of the time. We have made the pledge that we will ensure there is concordance between what we say and what we do. And we have pledged that we will perform every single act and every single deed and make efforts and strive to do so, which Allah the Almighty considers to be ahsan, or the best. That there will be uniformity between our word and our deed. That in order to attain those best things which Allah the Almighty has outlined, we will incline ourselves and look towards the Holy Quran, where there are hundreds of different commands. And in the Qur'an it has been distinct between those acts which are good or best and not good and not the best. The Qur'an says that if you act in such and such way, you will come to have nearness to Allah. Or if you act in such and such way, you will incur the wrath of Allah. There are some aspects which I will indicate here at this time. For example, Allah the Almighty states, addressing the Muslims, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنحون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. This means that you are the best people, raised for the good of mankind. You enjoin what is good and forbid evil and believe in Allah. Allah the Almighty says here that those who are His servants, or the community who are the servants of the gracious God, are better than all other people. Why are they better? It is because, in accordance with the ways that have been taught by Allah the Almighty, they have established the ahsan, the best way, in their words and deeds. They are the best for the reason that they guide others towards virtues and piety. Instead of following behind their selfish desires, they inculcate that guidance which Allah the Almighty has provided in order to attain nearness to Him. Allah the Almighty states, you are the khair ummah, the best people, because you stop other people from bad. You shun and you avoid every bad and vice and evil, and you also inculcate others to do so. And you do so so that you can be saved from the anger of God the Exalted. Further, it is because your faith in Allah the Almighty is strong, and this is why you are the khair ummah, the best people. You are firmly established upon the belief that Allah the Exalted is watching over my every word and every deed. You have firm belief that the temporary gods and deities set up in the world do not fulfill my needs. In fact, it is Allah the Almighty, who is Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all the worlds, alone who can fulfill my needs and who accepts and listens to my prayers. Further, this word and deed are such, which also informs and tells to the world that their sustenance is in establishing a connection with Allah the Exalted, and it is by following His commands and treading upon them. It is not in worldly pursuits, luxuries and endeavors. Allah the Almighty has further detailed and explained these best and good things and also the virtues and devices. For example, Allah the Almighty has stated, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. And those who bear not false witness, and when they pass by anything vain, they pass on with dignity. Here, Allah the Almighty has stopped us from two things. One is from falsehood, and the other is to say anything vain or useless. In other words, one should not give false testimony. Whatever the opportunity or occasion it is, one should never give a false witness. In fact, elsewhere, Allah the Almighty states that your standard of bearing witness should be of the level that whether you have to bear witness against yourself, your parents, or any of your relatives or loved ones, then you should do so. Therefore, this is the standard of establishing truth. When this standard is established, it will be counted amongst those ahsan, those best things, which Allah the Almighty has deemed to be ahsan. And as a result of this, a person attains nearness to Allah. And one improves and progresses in virtues and pieties. He becomes counted amongst those who are truly the servants of Allah. Then Allah the Almighty says further with regards to the truth. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. In other words, O believers, fear Allah and say whatever is not twisted and not crooked. In fact, it should be the right word, it should be true, it should be straightforward, and it should be completely upright. This is that asan to maintain that standard of truthfulness, to establish and to spread which Allah the Almighty has enjoined. However, if we carry out a self-assessment, then we do not find this standard of truthfulness. At every step, there are selfish desires which stand in the way. If we take an assessment, how many of there are us that when required, are prepared to testify or bear witness against our own selves, who are ready to testify against our parents, who are ready to bear witness against our beloved ones, and then who establish this standard that in their daily conversations, in their daily business affairs and matters, and so on, that they shun all forms of dialogue which are crooked and ambiguous. Somewhere or the other, either personal vested interests stand in the way, or the interests of near ones or relatives prove to come forth, or egotistical thoughts or desires stand in the way, and one is not prepared to accept his error or mistakes. Thus, a person attempts to make dubious and ambiguous statements, so that he can save himself. And this is so that he can attain his personal interests. The standard of Qawl-e Sadeed, saying the right word, are amongst the commands of Allah the Almighty relating to what is ahsan, or the best. Or it can be said that it is ahsan, or the best to Allah the Almighty, that truthfulness should be presented without any ambiguity and crookedness. If one follows this commandment, than from the domestic conflicts and quarrels to different societal disputes, all will come to an end. Neither will we need to go to the courts, nor will we need to go to the qaza. The atmosphere of reconciliation and peace will be established in all directions. And in the future generations also, the elevated standard of truthfulness would become enrooted. Then alongside the Council of Truthfulness, the further inculcation has been given, that in such meetings and gatherings, where there is not honesty and truthfulness being discussed, and instead there are vulgar and vain things being said, you should get up and leave immediately. In such meetings and gatherings where they are speaking against the teachings of Allah the Almighty, do not enter such meetings. Now with regards to this vulgar and vain talk, in this era, sometimes unconsciously in the gatherings at home or in other gatherings, this is being done. So sometimes people speak against the Nizam, the system of the Jamaat. I have said many a times that if people are speaking against the office holders, then you should present that point to me, if they are not fulfilling the obligations. However, when you say these things sitting in gatherings, it becomes vain talk, because through that no reformation comes about. All that happens is that conflict and disorder increase. Then, in this era, there are filthy or vulgar films on the TV. There are extremely filthy and obnoxious films on the internet, where there is dancing and such songs, in which some prayers are being mentioned in the name of certain deities. This is true in some Indian films. Or those deities are being exalted. Through this, the one, the greatest, and the most powerful God is being negated. Or through this, it is being expressed that the idols or the deities are a means of taking one to God. So thus, these are vain things. This is shirk, associating partners with God. Shirk and falsehood are one and the same thing. Such songs should not be heard. There is then Facebook or Twitter or different means of chatting on the computer. People connect together or meet together through these things. There are such obscene and indecent things that are often being spoken about, and sometimes there are such large disputes or fights. And some youngsters even write to me informing me of what came to pass, although they were involved in it themselves. These are such things which no decent person could ever see or hear. Boys and girls of very decent and respected families are involved in these things, and they are exposing themselves. So thus, for an Ahmadi to shun these things is of vital importance. An Ahmadi Muslim has been commanded that you should search for the Ahsan word, the best word. You should search for that best word which increases you in virtues. This is so that you can become the special servant of Allah the Almighty, and so that you can be saved from the curse that is to descend upon such persons. Nonetheless, there are many best or good words which Allah the Almighty has Himself enjoined us. There is to tread on the path of virtues, and to inculcate others of this is also the best word. To shun evil and to prevent others from vices is also ahsan, or the best thing. Allah the Almighty says to a true servant that you should say the best or the ahsan word. In one place, Allah the Almighty states, وَلِكُلِّ وِجْحَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلَّيْهَا فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. That everyone has a goal which dominates him. Vie then with one another in good works. So therefore, when one makes an effort to progress and increase in good deeds, then one's word and deed will both be ahsan, or the best. One's word and deed will both be in accordance with what Allah the Almighty desires. If one makes an effort to progress and advance in virtues, then most certainly one will be making an effort to safeguard himself from Satan and his attacks. In the verse of the Holy Quran that I recited at the outset, Allah the Almighty states, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ, that surely Satan stirs up discord amongst them, that is, amongst people. There are also various meanings of Satan. We know most of them. Satan is he who speaks against every command of the gracious God. One who is arrogant, rebellious, and inflicts harm upon others is Satan. And one who inclines others towards this is Satan. One who burns in the fire of jealousy is Satan. One who inflicts suffering and who creates doubts and misgivings is Satan. In short, as I stated, every such thing which is the best and is excellent, and which Allah the Almighty has commanded to act upon, so that Hakukullah and Hakukul Abad can be discharged, the rights due to Allah and to mankind. So Satan always gives instructions which are contrary to these. Nazagha or An-Nazgha means satanic talk or satanic things, or suggestions or advice which are given for the purpose of inciting people against one another and to create discord. Thus Allah the Almighty states that Satan for man is Aduwwu Mubina, that is, an open enemy. So Allah says, if after becoming my servants, you do not say and do all those best or ascend things, then you will exit the servitude of the gracious God and instead fall into the lap of Satan. And Satan will create falsehood within you. He will create arrogance inside you. He will also produce rebellion within you. Further, he will also incline you towards harming and causing suffering to others. He will produce doubts and misgivings inside you. He will also burn you in the fire of jealousy. The Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, just before you sleep at night, recite the last two surahs, Surah Al-Falaq and Surah An-Nas, three times, and blow over yourselves. This is so that you can be safeguarded from satanic thoughts, satanic doubts, and satanic vices. And this is so that after reciting this, your focus can always remain on the fact that we must remain safeguarded from this. One should pray to Allah the Almighty that protect us from this. Thus, one will say the best word, and one will become in the condition of being safeguarded from Satan and increasing in virtues when the help and succor of Allah the Almighty are also alongside the person. It is when, alongside praying to Allah the Almighty, one searches out for guidance from Him. And one searches for His commands and makes an effort to be safeguarded from Satan. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states that Satan, in order to lead man astray and in order to corrupt his actions, is always waiting in ambush. This is to the extent that he even wants to lead man astray in virtuous actions, and he forms plans and schemes to create discord and corruption in some way or the other. He even wants to create an element of discord in the prayers, such as pretentiousness and so on. In other words, he wants to instill such thoughts in the heart of one offering the prayers. And Satan even wants to embroil the one leading the prayer in this. So therefore, we should never be unmindful and devoid of fear of his onslaughts, because his attacks on sinners and transgressors are evident and open. They are as if his victims. However, Satan also does not desist from attacking the pious people. In some way or the other, he finds the opportunity and attacks them. Those who are under the grace and blessings of Allah the Almighty and are familiar and are aware of the intricate mischief of Satan, they supplicate to Allah the Almighty to be safeguarded. However, those who are yet weak and inexperienced, they sometimes become embroiled in this. In order to be safeguarded and to avoid pretentiousness and arrogance, there is a malamati sect which conceals its good deeds and they only reveal devices. In other words, there is a sect who says, do not reveal your virtues and only reveal your vices, so that nobody can say that you are extremely pious. They think that in this manner they can avoid the attacks of Satan. However, in my view, they also are imperfect, because in their heart is also those other than Allah. If this was not the case, then they would never do this. Man becomes perfect in his knowledge of the divine and treatment of others when in his heart is free from any kind of the other. And this is a community or the group of the prophets, peace be upon them. This is such a perfect group or community in whose hearts the concept of anything other than Allah the Almighty is completely non-existent. Through this, nobody should assume that it is only the prophets who attain this status, and thus no one should make any efforts because none else can acquire this. On numerous occasions, the promised Messiah alayhi salam has said himself that you should continue making efforts to elevate and increase your standards. In fact, the promised Messiah alayhi salam said that become a wali, a friend of Allah, do not become a worshipper of a wali. Then Allah the Almighty has put before us the example and model of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying that it is the Usfa-i Hasana for you, the blessed model. Strive to follow in these footsteps. So thus, in order to be safeguarded from the attacks of Satan, one needs to make full efforts. For this, as Allah the Almighty has stated, the best word and statement is required. In every matter, one needs to keep an eye on the commandments of Allah the Almighty. Then Allah the Almighty has also taught the prayer, that the last two surahs or chapters of the Holy Quran contain a prayer to be safeguarded from every attack of Satan. Then Allah the Almighty says in another place, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And if an evil suggestion from Satan incite thee, if Satan says any such thing to you, which is contrary to the best word, then seek refuge in Allah. Pray most profusely to come unto the protection of Allah. Pray, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan the accursed. And لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Allah the Almighty, who is all-hearing and all-knowing, gives us the hope that if one prays with sincere intention, then most certainly he listens to such prayers. Here I should also state that the fire of jealousy of Satan, which he burnt in himself, and through which he disobeyed Adam and was expelled, and then he pledged to burn mankind in this very fire. This is something which is extremely dangerous. It is this fire of jealousy which is the means of restlessness and anxiety in the society. Therefore, every single Ahmadi needs to greatly avoid and safeguard himself from this. Especially in order to safeguard oneself from this, one should bow down in prostration to Allah the Almighty with great zeal whilst weeping and crying. The attacks of Satan are of two types. One attack of Satan is in order to break man's connection with God the Almighty. The other attack of Satan is his effort to break man's connection with his fellow human beings. Whereas the Ahsan word, the best word, on the one hand, takes one towards the love of Allah the Almighty, and also, on the other hand, it leads a person to increasing his love for mankind for the sake of Allah the Almighty. As I stated, Haqooq Allah and Haqooq Al-Abad, the rights due to Allah and the rights due to mankind, can only be discharged through the best word. Thus, in terms of this slogan that we raise of love for all and hatred for none, even the non-Ahmadis are impressed by it. Whenever they come to our meetings and gatherings, they cannot refrain from mentioning and referring to this slogan. However, if we are not demonstrating this between each other, then this slogan would be worthless. It is the command of Allah the Almighty, and I present this before the Jamaat again and again, that Rahuma obeynahum, that be tender and compassionate amongst each other. Be kind and loving to one another. Only such people are true believers, true mu'mins, because this is a sign of a mu'min, of a believer. By excelling in speeches and statements, however much we try to establish and prove that this is our slogan of love for all and hatred for none, and then that we also present that this is an example of the identity and unity of the Jamaat, however much we make efforts to prove and establish this, this will only truly impress others and have an impact when within our homes and within our society we cultivate this atmosphere, that we should be tender and kind and compassionate to one another, that we should pardon, forgive and overlook each other. This is also a virtue regarding which Allah the Almighty has specifically inculcated. Allah the Almighty states, وَلْيَعْفُ وَلْيَصْفَهُ, that forgive and pardon and overlook. In short, there are numerous commands of Allah the Almighty which bring about nearness to Him. However, this world is such, where at every step, Satan is confronted. On many occasions, he develops disparity between what we say and what we do, and he wishes to remove us far from those aspects which Allah the Almighty has inculcated and commanded a true believer and servant of God to perform. So therefore, we should always remember that Satan will go on with his plans and his schemes. From the birth of Adam, he asked for the respite from God the Almighty, that give me this respite, that regarding whom you have said I should submit to, that I should lead him astray from the right path. Satan then went on to say that I will tempt and incite the majority so that they will follow me. They will be less servants of God, and there will be a greater number of satanic people. Allah the Almighty responded to him, that whoever will follow you, I shall throw in hell. As I have cited examples previously, in this era, there are numerous things which lead one to incurring the anger of God. Utilizing those things in the appropriate and proper manner is not bad. However, using those things inappropriately has become a huge means of spreading filth, spreading vices, and spreading sin. Yet, those very things are also a means of spreading virtues and goodness. There is the television. It provides informatory and educational things. However, it also spreads and has made common indecencies. In this era, the television is best being utilized by Ahmadis, by the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. During the days of the Jalsa, I also drew attention towards this, and this had an impact upon some, who said to me that we previously did not watch MTA, Muslim Television Ahmadiyya. However, upon your reminder and upon you saying it, we have started to watch MTA, and now we regret that why did we not watch MTA before? Why did we not attach ourselves with this previously? Some even expressed that within a week or even 10 days, our standard of spirituality, our standard of faith have increased. We have now learned properly about the Jamaat. So thus once again I remind everyone, give great attention towards this. Make your homes into those which take benefit from this reward which Allah the Almighty has granted us for our tarbiyat, for our moral training, to increase our spirituality and knowledge. This is so that our future generations can always remain established upon Ahmadiyyat. Thus, we should make every effort to attach ourselves with MTA. Now, apart from the Friday sermon, there are a number of other live programs which are also being broadcast, where on the one hand, they are a means of increasing one's spirituality and faith. There, they are also a means of increasing one's knowledge. The Jamaat spends hundreds of thousands of dollars each year upon this. And this is for the reason that the members of the Jamaat can undertake the tarbiyat, or moral training. If the members of the Jamaat do not take full benefit from this, they will only be depriving themselves, for the non-Ahmadis are now taking full benefit from MTA. The truthfulness of the Jamaat is becoming evident upon them. They are learning of the Tawheed, the unity of Allah, and the realities of Islam, and they are gaining true perception into this. Therefore, the Ahmadis living here and the Ahmadis living anywhere in the world, they should take full benefit from MTA. There is another blessing of MTA, that it is an immense means of connecting the Jamaat with the blessings of Khilafat. Therefore, you should take benefit from this. Allah the Almighty granted man intellect. Man utilized this intellect to create facilities of ease and comfort for himself. Allah the Almighty states, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيَّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That verily, we have made all that is on the earth as an ornament for it, that we may try them as to which of them is best in conduct. So thus here, every single thing on the earth has been deemed to be beautiful or an ornament, and its importance has been outlined. Every new invention has also been deemed an ornament or beautiful or good, and its importance has been expounded. However, Allah the Almighty says that its importance is on one side. However, it will only be beneficial when it is attached with the best action or deed. Therefore, we have been counseled that take benefit from these inventions. However, the best action should always be kept in view. The beauty of these inventions will only be there when they will be utilized in accordance with the pleasure of Allah, rather than to create discord, strife and corruption. If the best action is not utilized in these inventions, these same things become a trial. I have cited some examples already. Take just the television. It gives benefit, but it also has become a trial. There are many homes that are being destroyed as a result of the internet and chatting, and the children are becoming corrupt. This is for the reason that in the name of freedom, those things which have been bestowed by Allah the Almighty are being utilized in the inappropriate manner. It has been commanded for a true servant that always keep in view the best word and speech and the best deed. The purpose of any task could be to attain the pleasure of God. Nonetheless, there are numerous commands of the Holy Quran. Not all of them can be detailed here. There is one matter that I would like to draw attention towards. In the beginning, I have said some things about this already. We should keep this in view with regards to the best statement or best word. Allah the Almighty greatly likes this, and He says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And who is better in speech than he who invites men to Allah and does good work and says, I am surely of those who submit. So therefore this is that beautiful teaching and point which is expected of a true servant. It can and should be expected of a true servant. In the verse that I recited in the beginning, it was said, يَقُولُ اللَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, that they should speak which is best. And that is best which Allah the Almighty has commanded. However, in this particular verse, it is said, taking together all these good things, it ultimately leads to the summary which is mentioned in this verse. And that is the best word, which is to call others towards God. Now the one who invites others to Allah would have to take a self-assessment, that to what degree is he himself acting upon those things which he is calling others towards. At the outset I also stated that Allah says, do not say what you do not do, because this is a sin. So therefore, as I have already explained in detail, one who invites others to Allah has to ensure that what he says and what he does are one and the same. He would have to completely and entirely fashion himself in accordance with Allah. This is an exemplary model of the Islamic teachings, that you call others to Allah the Almighty, because there is no better speech than this. This is something which greatly is liked by Allah. However, in order to call others to Allah, one would have to channel his actions into righteous deeds. Amal al-Salih, righteous deeds, are those which are in accordance with God's guidance, which spreads goodness and which are in accordance with the time. They are also the means of reformation. Here, I shall give an example of Amal al-Salih, righteous deeds, which are not directly connected to this, but it is also necessary to clarify to you. For example, as I have mentioned before, to forgive and to pardon and to overlook others is a virtuous and pious deed. Allah the Almighty states, come into the habit of forgiving others. However, to forgive a habitual thief or to pardon a habitual murderer is not the best act or a righteous deed. Here, Amal al-Saliha, righteous deed, will be that in order to safeguard the society from evil and harm, and in order to prevent vices, such a person should be punished who repeatedly commits these sins and does so purposely. There are similarly many other examples. In any case, Allah the Almighty states that there is no one better than he who invites others to Allah, who performs Dawat al-Allah. This is something which Allah the Almighty greatly likes. But one who calls others to Allah should remember that just inviting others to Allah is not enough. In fact, such a person's every act should be Amal al-Saliha, righteous deed. It cannot be the case that on one side, a person states that I am a special servant of God, and this is why it is my duty to convey Allah's message. Yet, on the other side, he is not fulfilling the rights of his wife and children, or that the woman is not fulfilling the due of her guardianship of the home or the moral training of her children. Or that any of the other Islamic commandments are not being followed. There is the attire and the clothing of a woman. Islam has commanded for it to be modest and the sanctity should be intact. If that is not considered, yet the woman goes out for preaching. When through such a person's preaching, a person accepts Islam and then reads the Holy Quran, the person will say that you did preach to me. However, the Holy Quran commands for parda, covering, and also modesty and sanctity, which you are not acting upon. Then there are many other vices, such as falsehood, there is backbiting, and there are many other wrong things. They will not be forgiven for the fact that someone carries out preaching in an excellent manner. Allah the Almighty states, one who says the best word or speech should also do amal salihah, righteous deeds and actions. They should demonstrate that they are submissive and one who is completely obedient. That upon every command, they raise the slogan of sami'na wa ata'na, that we hear and we obey. This is the sign of a true Muslim. Therefore, with this reference, I would like to also draw the attention of the Australia Jamaat, that remember that Dawatulillah, inviting others towards Allah the Almighty, is greatly liked by Allah. However, for this, alongside this, and in order to carry out this task, one needs to channel one's actions in accordance with the commands of God. One must demonstrate the example of complete submission and obedience. This country has a population of approximately 23 billion. However, in terms of land area, it is extremely large. It is in fact a continent. Nonetheless, the population is not all that much. It is limited to just some cities. Indeed, the distance between some cities is very large. However, as I also stated at the Jalsa, the Lajna, the Khudam, the Ansar, and the Jamaati Nizam should all give great attention towards preaching and tabligh. Our work is only to convey the message. The results that will be produced is the work of God. If alongside the endeavors that we carry out, we also pray, it will inshallah also bring about results. No one should say that we do not even know or are acquainted with the Jamaat Ahmadiyya. By chance, on the day of Eid, I saw some of the MTA program that was in the studios from here. There, our Naib Amir Khalid Saifullah Khan Sahib said that in 1989, Hazrat Khalifa Tumasi Rabi, the fourth Khalifa, led the Eid and Jummah here. The mosque appeared to be very large then. He said that at the most there were approximately 250 people. He said that now, in my view, there are approximately 2,500 people. The immediate reaction then, which was also my reaction, was that Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. We should express gratitude to God upon this, that He increased the numbers. However, when I pondered upon this, it also developed a concern in me, that after approximately 24 years, these numbers that have increased are mainly of those who have come from Pakistan and Fiji. Through preaching, perhaps only a handful of Ahmadis have come in, and even they were not looked after. In 24 years, not even 24 local Ahmadis were made. In other words, there was not even one new Ahmadi converted a year. These numbers that have increased, the numbers which have grown here, is as a result of the numbers decreasing in Pakistan and Fiji, and not as a result of the efforts of the Australia Jamaat. Thus, we should not close our eyes to the realities. We should always keep these in view. This is a matter of concern. It is, at least for me, a matter of grave concern. Similarly, apart from the local people, that is, the people who came here settled in the early period, those who now call themselves Australian, apart from these people, and apart from the indigenous native people who were here from before, there are also Arabs and people from other nations who have settled here. There is also a need to preach amongst them. A proper plan should be made, and then a campaign should be launched. I have noticed amongst the Australian people that they have a lot of patience to listen. They desire and they wish for this. if by establishing relationships, contact is made, and then this is reached to them, then some sincere people or the other will be found amongst them who will accept the true religion. To every segment of the society, it is our duty to spread the message of love and affection and peace. There were some guests who met me in Melbourne who were acquainted with Ahmadis, but many amongst them who are not aware of the true message of Islam. They consider Ahmadiyya to be an organization, those who have good morals, and they have friendship with them. However, the basic message of Islam has not been conveyed to them. Thus, there is a need to give attention in this direction. A sincere friend was given an award at the Jalsa that despite his disability, he conveyed the message of peace flyer or leaflet in the quantity of 20,000. Now it is said in the entire country that you are 4,000, but I believe that the numbers are more than this. If the numbers here are of 5,000, and half of them, that is 2,000 persons, distribute the flyers and the leaflets, then this could have been distributed to 10 million people. That is, to half the population of Australia, the message of peace of Islam could have been conveyed. This true picture could have been formed in 1 year. Then, for preaching, another pamphlet could have been made. In fact, even if we distributed this to 1/4, or even if we had distributed this to 1/10, it would have drawn the attention of the media. Then the newspapers alone will pick up this message. And in many countries, this is what has happened, even in a country like the United States. The rest of the work is carried out through these means. There may indeed be good attention given towards the media and good connections with them. This is what I have seen. However, this should be used to convey the true message of Islam. Here, there are many people of elderly age who have come here. They have also come to various countries. I say to them everywhere, and I will also say to them here, they have no other work. They are sitting idle at home. They should dedicate their times fully and distribute flyers and leaflets. They should take the literature of the Jamaat, they should preach and distribute this. These facts and figures I have given are only to incite realization. I am aware that in terms of the cost of publication, perhaps the Jamaat of Australia would not be able to afford it. If the literature was published in bulk, which would mean it would come to around 5 or 10 cents in cost. For 10 million would require at least $500,000. But nonetheless, even if it is published in hundreds of thousands, and this can be done, this is no problem at all, then a lot of work can be carried out. The rest, as I stated, if the contact is maintained with the press, they will carry out the work. There are the endeavors of blood drives. I have heard that you already organize these. But you should associate these with the name of Islam. It is then that the peaceful message of Islam will become evident upon the world. Inshallah, God willing, attention will then be drawn, and this will open up new avenues. And most of all, for this endeavor, as I stated, Allah the Almighty states that our actions should be righteous, we should increase and advance in pieties, and our faith in God should be perfect. We should give heed towards prayers. May Allah the Almighty count us amongst those servants of Him who perform righteous deeds and who increase in pieties and submission, and may we work in accordance with His pleasure. May Allah the Almighty also produce pious results out of this. May our increase in numbers also consist of the local people from here. May Allah make it so. After the Friday prayer, I will also lead a funeral prayer in absentia, which is of Muhtarama Sahibzadi Amdul Mateen Sahiba. She was the daughter of Hazrat Muslih Mahmud, may Allah be pleased with him, the second Khalifa of the Ahmadiyya community. She was the wife of Sayyid Mir Mahmud Ahmed Nasir Sahib. She passed away on the night, approximately at midnight, on 14th October in Rabwa. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. She was buried on the Eid day yesterday or day before yesterday. She was born in Qadian on 21st December 1936 in Qadian. She was born in Darul Masih itself. Hadrat Amma Jan, the wife of the promised Messiah, and Hadrat Musleh Maud had prayed most profusely for her. She was the daughter of Hadrat Sayyida Maryam Siddiqa Sahiba. From this wife of Hadrat Musleh Maud, she was the only daughter. She was also the maternal granddaughter of Dr. Mir Muhammad Ismail Sahib. May Allah be pleased with him. Dr. Mir Muhammad Ismail Sahib was also the maternal uncle of Hadrat Musleh Maud. Hadrat Musleh Maud wrote poems for his daughter. These have been published in Kalame Mahmood Azitarana, Twale Ahmadiyyat. One of the couplets is that my call day and night is only that there is only one creator of this universe. Nonetheless, I have noticed amongst the children of Hadrat Musleh Maud, in particular amongst all the daughters, I have seen that they have a very close connection with Allah the Almighty and are very regular in their prayers. Not only were they regular, but in fact, they would pray with great absorption and attention. They all prayed very long prayers. Because Mir Mahmud Ahmed Nasir has been a missionary and is a Waqf-e Zindagi, he was a missionary in Spain and in the USA. She had the opportunity to stay with him. She fulfilled the due of being the wife of a missionary. In Spain, when Masjid Basharat was made, they were there at the time. The work of preparation and the work of making food, she did a lot of work at the time. There was no proper arrangements for this. Hadrat Khalifa Masih Rabe, the fourth Khalifa, also mentioned that the night that they slept at 3 a.m., they would be extremely happy that today Allah the Almighty has enabled them to get some sleep. They would work till late night. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, the ceremony of Masjid Basharat was extremely successful. She would herself cook food for the people in general and also for Hadrat Khalifa Masih the Fourth, and it was prepared under her personal supervision because there was no proper langar or kitchen at the time. She stayed in California for a long period of time. There also the condition of the Jamaat was such that there was no washing machine or other such facilities. She would carry out the washing of her clothes herself and other household chores. When anyone offered for a household assistant, she would refuse. She had the habit of carrying out the household work herself. In Lajna, Markaziya, Pakistan, she served in different capacities. As a secretary, she worked. She had a connection of deep loyalty with Khilafat. She was my khala, my maternal aunt. However, the connection after Khilafat, of respect, of love, of affection and regard increased. In fact, when she came to London for the first time after, she said to someone that I am unable to speak openly before him. Even this year she had come for the Jalsa. She was quite ill. However, despite this, she came to the Jalsa in London and she met me. She has four sons and one daughter. As I stated, her husband is Mir Mahmud Ahmed Nasir. And amongst her sons, two are life devotees, Waqf-e Zindagis. One is Dr. Ghulam Ahmed Farooq Sahib, who did a PhD in computer science from the USA and is nowadays working in Rabwa in the offices of Sadr Anjuman Ahmadiyya. The other Waqf-e Zindagi life devotee left his employment and came to London. He is here with me, Muhammad Ahmed Sahib. He was here, but because of the demise of his mother, a few days ago he went to Rabwa. They both brothers work with great devotion and sincerity. May Allah the Almighty continue to enable them to carry this out. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased. She has one daughter who lives in Holland. One son is a doctor who lives in Dubai, and another is in the United States. May Allah the Almighty enable all of them to maintain a relationship of loyalty and devotion with Khilafat. Respected Mir Mahmud Ahmed Nasir Sahib is feeling quite lonely. May Allah the Almighty, through His grace and through His blessings, grant him peace and tranquility. And the shortcoming can only be fulfilled through the grace of Allah the Almighty. When someone is together for so long, then indeed such feelings do come about. May Allah the Almighty elevate the station of the deceased. As I stated, after the Friday prayers, I will lead the funeral prayer in absentia.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.